आजानुलंबिता भुजौ कनकतावतौ संकीर्तनाय कपितरौ कमदायताक्षौ विश्वंबरौ द्विजबरौ युगधर्मपालौ वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरौ करुणावतारौ. I offer my respectful obeisances to the two fathers of the Sankirtan movement, whose long arms reach to their knees, who are splendid like gold, whose large eyes are lotus flowers, who are the maintainers of the worlds, the best of the Brahmins and the protectors of the Yuga Dharma, the religion of the age, who bring happiness to the people of the world and who have come to this place because they are very merciful. Namastri Kala Satyaya Jagannatha Suthaya Cha Satpratyaya Saputraya Sakalatraya Te Namaha. O Lord, who exists eternally in the three phases of time, O son of Jagannath Mishra, O Lord, accompanied by your servants, sons and wives, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Glory, glory to Lord Chaitanya, the king of the Brahmins and the maintainer of the worlds. Glory to the Vaishnavas, who are very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Glory to Lord Chaitanya, the saintly protector of the true religion. Glory to Lord Chaitanya, whose handsome form, his beautiful form, is wrapped in the activities of Sankirtan. Glory to he who is the friend, wealth, and life of Nityananda. Glory to he who is the abode of spiritual love for Advaita and Gadadhara. This morning we discussed the beautiful stories relating to the life of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he appeared in this world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his infinite love and compassion to every individual spirit soul who is eternally part and parcel of him, appears in this world to attract our hearts back to the natural, blissful state of eternal service to the Lord. We described this morning how the Lord appeared in the holy land of Navadvip, and we ended the narration when he went to the holy place of Gaya and received initiation into the Brahma Madhva Vaishnav Sampradaya from that great Acharya, the disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri of the name Sri Ishwara Puri. When Lord Chaitanya returned to Gaya, the whole town was filled with news of his arrival. His friends, his relatives, his students, they ran to the outskirts of the town to greet him, and there was a great celebration. When he returned, he was manifesting a different mood than they had ever seen before. In his home, after receiving the blessings of the elders and the kind, loving welcome of his equals and his students, he took some of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, about two or four of them, into a secret place. And there he began to explain what his journey to Gaya was like. He said, "I went to this very holy land where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, had personally gone long ago, and there he had his feet washed. And since that time, Gaya is considered sanctifying for everyone. because the Lord's holy feet had remained there. And as Lord Chaitanya began to explain the glories of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, tears began to flow from his eyes. He began to exhibit such ecstatic love for God that the devotees had never seen. Lord Chaitanya said, "I want to reveal to you my heart. Bring Sadashiva and a few other of the Vaishnavas to the home of Suklambar Brahmachari, and tomorrow I will reveal my sorrow to you." Every morning, a few of the devotees would meet in the garden of Srivas. In this garden, there was a beautiful tree, and the vines of this tree would produce unlimited flowers every day. However many flowers the devotees picked for their worship, always that many flowers remained on the vines. On that morning, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas, Murari, and several others, they were picking their flowers, and as they were picking flowers, they were singing the glories of the Lord and discussing the pastimes of the Lord. On that day, Sriman Pandit came, and he was smiling, very happy. And the devotees asked, "Sriman, today it appears you are very much happy. Your smiles are showing. There must be some reason." And he said, "Yes, there is a very, very excellent reason why I am smiling. Because yesterday I went to greet Nimai Pandit as he came back from Gaya. And what I saw in him is most extraordinary. He has become a Vaishnava. He's a devotee. He talks of nothing but Krishna. And what kind of ecstatic love he was manifesting when he was describing the glories of Krishna's lotus feet, I have never seen." And when Srivas Pandit heard this, he became so happy. He began to extol a blessing that may the family of Vaishnavas now expand in all directions throughout the universe. Nimai Pandit has become a Vaishnava. Through him, the whole world will take to Krishna consciousness. Sriman Pandit explained that today morning he wants a few of us to meet him at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari. Gadadhar Pandit also went to the house, but he remained in a hidden place. Lord Chaitanya met them and began to reveal his heart. He explained how I have wasted my life for so many years in dry and useless academic studies. And finally, Krishna appeared before me. But because of my bad karma, he disappeared. Where is Krishna? And then Lord Chaitanya began to cry out in the mood of Sri Radharani's love, "Where is Krishna?" Those were the only words he could speak. Where is Krishna? And as he wept, he leaned against a pillar. And all of the devotees began to weep. And Gadadhar Pandit, he also began to weep. And then the devotees began a wonderful kirtan of the holy names. They all began to chant Krishna's glories. And Lord Chaitanya asked, "Is there someone else here?" "Yes, Gadadhar." Lord Chaitanya went and he began to embrace Gadadhar. The same Gadadhar that Lord Chaitanya for so many years harassed by forcing him into so many mundane debates on logic, grammar, and philosophy. Gadadhar, who would always want to run away from him because he could not tolerate speaking of anything but Krishna, but at the same time He could not tolerate being without Lord Chaitanya because he created so much attraction and love in his heart. But on this day, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of the greatest of all Vaishnavas, was weeping and embracing Gadadhar and chanting the holy names of Krishna. And he said to Gadadhar, "You are so fortunate. From your very birth, you were detached from everything of this material world. From your earliest childhood, you had no other interest than hearing the glories of the Lord, serving the Lord's devotees, and chanting the holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I wasted my whole youth in the pursuit of dry, mundane, academic knowledge, which is all vain, useless, if it is not connected to the loving service of Lord Sri Krishna." In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the nature of a perfect devotee in the mood of humility. Although he was the Supreme Lord himself, he always took the humblest position, because in the role of a devotee, he wanted to show everyone that however great one may be, one should always feel oneself very lowly. Because in that state of consciousness only can we always seek shelter of the association of the Lord's servants, and can we genuinely and properly chant the holy names of Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya went to his teacher, Gangadas Pandit. And Gangadas was so happy. He embraced Nimai Pandit. And he told him that all of your thousands of students, they have simply been waiting for you. You are such a teacher. They are so attached to hearing from you. They will not go to any other teacher. They will not even open up their books if you are not there to teach them. So now, please continue your career as a teacher. Lord Chaitanya took the dust from his feet. Then he went to Mukund Sanjay's home. And he was welcomed and embraced by this great devotee who gave him the accommodations of his own home to teach. And then he started to begin his teachings to his students. And to his students' great amazement, he was a completely different type of teacher. He was explaining that every word, that every syllable, that every letter means only one thing, Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the goal of everything. Krishna is the maintainer of everything. Therefore, you should know that anything outside of knowledge of Krishna is an illusion. It is ignorance. You should not spend a moment in pursuit of any other knowledge except devotion to Krishna, because it is the only thing that is real. It is the only thing that is eternal. And he went on with his teachings in such a way to describe that every aspect of scripture, every aspect of grammar, logic, philosophy, simply means to chant the holy names of Krishna. And if you do not come to this conclusion, you are in ignorance, you are a fool, you are condemned, and you have not understood the very heart of the scriptures. The students could not understand what he was talking about. They came to hear about logic and grammar. Then he went home. And his mother, Sachi Devi, she asked Lord Chaitanya, "What books did you teach your students today?" He said, "Mother, I taught that the eternal truth is only devotion to Krishna. There is nothing else. Mother, you should simply become attached to Krishna's devotees, think about Krishna, speak about Krishna, and chant Krishna's holy names. If you are Krishna conscious in this way, no fear of material miseries will ever assault you." At this particular time, Sachi Mata fell in the mood of Devahuti, and Lord Chaitanya actually became Lord Kapiladev and began to instruct his mother. He said, "If you chant the holy names of Krishna and keep Krishna always in your heart, you will never have to take birth again in this material world. But if you do not, if you have any other purpose or goal in your life, you will forced to enter into another womb. And what will happen in that womb? You will be situated in such a situation where worms will bite you, where various digestive fires will burn you. It will be like an encagement of prison of fire. And you will be cramped and you cannot move. And after 7 months, you will have full consciousness of the miserable condition you're in. And you will be suffering so terribly in the prison of the womb that you will remember all of your previous births and all of your sins. They will all come before you, and you will suffer terribly. And then the original natural quality of the soul will start crying out for Krishna. Krishna, save me. I have spent so many useless lifetimes going through the sufferings of birth, old age, disease, and death in forgetfulness in you, betraying your mercy, trying to enjoy separate from you. But now I am in such a miserable condition in this womb, but I'm remembering you. Therefore, please deliver me. And if it means remembering you, let me remain in this womb." Lord Chaitanya explained to his mother, "Sometimes due to a person's bad karma, he never even comes out of the womb. He dies in the womb and goes into another womb, dies in the womb, goes into another womb, birth after birth after birth. But when the soul cries out for the mercy of Krishna, he promises, he vows, 'I will never leave you again. I am tired of trying to enjoy independent of you. I am your servant. Just let me take birth in a place where there are Vaishnavas and where your holy name is chanting. I don't want to take birth even in Indra Loka if the festivals honoring your glorification are not taking place and devotees are not assembling together to hear your glories and chant your holy name." And then, by the laws of nature, the child falls out of the womb. And then the material energy makes him forget. And if he's fortunate, he's in the association of devotees. And when he starts to develop his consciousness and intelligence, he takes to the path of Krishna consciousness and perfects his life. But if he is terribly unfortunate, he falls in the association of materialistic people and wastes his life and enters again and again and again into the various species. My dear mother, please know there is nothing but Krishna and his devotees. Keep that attachment. Always remember Krishna and chant his holy names. Lord Chaitanya couldn't speak of anything but Krishna Katha. So his students went to Gangadas Pandit and reported that Nimai Pandit, he's very different. He only speaks Krishna. Every word means Krishna. Everything means Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. We don't understand what he's talking about. What should we do? Ganga Das Pandit replied that he smiled. He said, because he was a great devotee himself. He said, you go home and you meet him tomorrow. I will talk to him today. He called for Lord Chaitanya. And he said to Lord Vishwambhar that your students are telling me that you're only talking about Krishna, nothing but Krishna. You are a scholar. It is no small thing to be a teacher of great Brahmins. You have to perform your prescribed duty properly. Your father, Jagannath Mishra, your grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, were they not great devotees? Were they not great scholars? But still, they talked academics according to the proper policies and procedures. If you do not teach these students and you do not behave yourself in a way to teach them the proper academic methods, then how will you serve Krishna properly? So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I will defeat everyone in argument. Ganga Das Pandit was thinking, now he is back to normal. So he went back to teach his students. And somehow or other, by the trying to be obedient to Ganga Das Pandit, he started challenging everyone. Where is the Bhattacharyas, the Mishras, the Chakravartis? Let them challenge me. I will break all of their arguments into powders. And the students were thinking, this is... Were you never... And every day he would chant the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he began to recite a particular verse. The verse where the wives of the Brahmins, the Yajnapatnis, they left their husbands, they left their homes, they left all the protection of the world to bring offerings of food to Krishna and Balaram in order to satisfy him. And as they came before Krishna, they saw his beautiful form standing with his arm leaning against a friend, his beautiful complexion like a tamal tree, bedecked with a peacock feather. He described the beauty of Krishna's form and the loving relationships he was enjoying with his devotees and the glories of the devotion of the wives of the Brahmins. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, rivers of tears started flowing from his eyes, his hair started standing on end, and he fell to the ground and fainted. And then he was trembling. And then he started dancing. And then he jumped up and he started saying to Ratnagarbha Acharya, say it again, say it again. And Ratnagarbha Acharya was reading the verse again and again, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing and singing in ecstasy. And then he started embracing Ratnagarbha Acharya, and then he started trembling in ecstatic love, and the students were watching. What is this? This was in the middle of their class. And then somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness. And he told his students that now you go home and tomorrow we will continue our teachings. And they all took their baths in Ganga and went home. And the next day, one of the students asked, please explain what is the meaning of verbal roots, dhatu. And Lord Chaitanya said, verbal roots. He said, verbal roots means the root of action. And the cause of all actions is Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. And then he began to explain that we can only perform activities like verbs when we're alive. And what is the source of life? It is the life force, the life air. And what is the life air? It is Krishna. It is coming from Krishna. It is Krishna Himself, His potency. And look at the great king. The king is living in a great palace and wearing a big throne. And when he speaks, people think it is Yamaraj himself speaking. But when the king, when the life air leaves him, the Dhatu, then what is the king? He's a dead corpse. And they put him on fire, or they bury him in the ground. So what is the real? What is the real truth is that Krishna is the source of all life. Without Krishna, there is only death. And even the Father, who we love and care for so much, when His life force leaves Him, when Krishna leaves Him, even His own children do not even want to touch Him. They put the fire to His head. Therefore I say that Krishna is the root and cause of everything. And therefore, you should not waste another moment for any other activity than hearing the glories of Krishna and chanting His holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed His students for 6 continuous hours. This morning was only 5 hours. And His students were in rapt attention. This morning people were standing up and falling down. It's all right, we are only part and parcel, so... Then he came to external consciousness out of his ecstatic emotions, and he asked his students, "What did I say?" They said, "You just told us about Krishna. Everything you say is Krishna. Nothing means anything except surrender to Krishna. And yesterday at Ratnagarbha Acharya's, you were just dancing and you were crying and you were weeping and you were, sometimes there was no life in your body, you were unconscious. We have never seen anyone like you." Lord Chaitanya said, "6 hours I gave a lecture and I didn't even cover the topic? Why didn't you tell me?" They said, "But everything you said is true. It's the highest truth. We agree." Lord Chaitanya replied, "I have to tell you something. That wherever I look, I only see a beautiful dark complexioned boy playing a flute. And wherever I look, I only see the holy land of Vrindavan. And whatever I hear, I only hear Krishna's holy names. Therefore, with a sorry heart, I must tell you that I can no longer teach grammar or logic. I give you my blessings. You can go to any other teacher and learn from them, but I can no longer teach." And Lord Chaitanya tied up his books and resigned. When the students heard that, they began to weep, they began to cry. They said, "After having a teacher like you, how could we ever accept any other teacher? Whatever you have taught us, we will forever meditate upon and worship within the core of our hearts." And then they all tied up their books and we all resigned from being students. And Lord Chaitanya instructed them that always associate with devotees of the Lord. Always remember Krishna. And the means of doing so is to always chant His holy names. And the students asked, "Can you tell us how we're supposed to chant the holy names. And then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the first time, began instructing in the glories of the holy name in Sankirtan. He taught the students, you come together, and in great attention and faith, you chant this mantra. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana.
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana.
Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. As he was chanting the holy names, he began to dance, and all of his students began to dance, and the kirtan became so loud, the residents of Navadweep, they never heard anything so sweet publicly. The devotees, they would chant mostly inside the houses of Advaita or Srivas. But this was right on the banks of the river Ganges. And it was Nimai Pandit and all of his great scholarly students dancing and chanting. The people of Navadweep came to hear and to see. And then the Vaishnavas, when they heard that Nimai Pandit is dancing in kirtan, they all came running. And everyone was dancing and everyone was singing the holy names with their arms raised. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Sankirtan of the holy name, the Yuga Dharma, has begun. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. The Lord became the very personification of humility. Every day he would meet the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. He would bow down to them and beg them to give them mercy and blessings. They would pat him on the head and sometimes embrace him and bless him that he will achieve love of Krishna. One day he came before Shiva's Pandit, and he bowed down to him and begged Shrivas for his blessings. Shrivas said, "I bless you that you always remember Krishna, that you never forget Krishna, that you always serve Krishna and his devotees and keep the name of the Lord always in your heart and on your mouth. And take the name of Krishna and give it to everyone. Make the whole world Krishna conscious." And Lord Chaitanya, with such a grateful heart, with folded palms, he said to Shrivas, "Today I am most fortunate because I have received the blessings of a great soul. And through your blessings, I am sure that Krishna will be merciful upon me." The Lord would go to the devotees and he would take their garments and wash them with his own hands. He would fold their dhotis for them. He would bring mud and grass. Sometimes he would carry water for them. Sometimes he would clean their puja paraphernalia for them. Sometimes when they were carrying loads to their house, he would take it and carry it for them. In this way, the Lord took great, great pleasure in performing the most menial, simple services for the pleasure of his devotees. And the devotees would say, "No, please do not do this." But Nimai Pandit would insist. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the world that the highest of all religious principles is to become the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. For it is the only means of attracting the mercy of Krishna. And there is no other way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to show how he was always subordinate to the love of his devotees. One day the devotees wanted to tell Lord Chaitanya the sorrows in their heart. They explained to him that the people of Navadvip have become so materialistic, so proud and attached to material enjoyment and false pride, that no one will take the name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told them that very soon you will see the whole town of Navadvip in great bliss will be loudly coming together to chant the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Lord Gaurasundar, when he was at home, sometimes he would go into these ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna. And he would just cry out, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And sometimes he was crying. And sometimes he was behaving in such extraordinary spiritual trances that Sachimata did not understand. "What has happened to my son? He says nothing but the names of Krishna." So she went and started asking different neighbors and townspeople, "Can you come and look at my son and see what's wrong with him?" She was sending messages to Shrivas, the leader of the Vaishnavas. And sometimes she would just grab people by the arms and bring them home. "Tell me what to do with my son. Look at him. He just laughs and chants and cries, and trembles and falls down." And the people said, the townspeople, "We know what it is. His life airs are in disarray. He has a disease. And due to a disease in his life errors, he's behaving like a madman. Therefore, you should put special oils on his head, Vishnu oils, and rub it. And someone else said, no, his disease is too complex and too severe for Vishnu oil. The only hope is Shiva Ghee. You should put him in a pot of Shiva Ghee and let him soak in it. And you should tie his hands and tie his feet and make him so he can't move or go anywhere. He's mad. His life affairs are in disarray. So Sachimata became very much worried and very much distressed. And then Srivas came. And Srivas came, and when he came to the courtyard, he saw Tulsi, and he offered obeisances and circumambulated. And when Lord Chaitanya saw Srivas worshipping Tulsi, that brought so much ecstasy in his heart, he fell down and unconscious in ecstatic love. And he began to weep and cry and tremble in so many ways. And he said to Srivas, please tell me, are my life errors in disarray? What is my disease? And Srivas looked at him and he said, what you have is very good. He said, you have love of God. He says, what you have is what I want. You are manifesting the ultimate goal of life. And Lord Chaitanya said, thank you very much. If you would have told me that my life affairs were in disarray, I would have gone to the Ganges and ended my life. And then Srivas said to Sachimata that your son is manifesting the most sublime symptoms of love of Krishna. You should not ask any more of these materialistic people anything about your son again. You should know, and you should be happy. And Sachimata, all of her anxieties were relieved. One day, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit went to the house of Advaitacharya in Navadvip. Advaitacharya was then worshipping the deity. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him chanting the holy names and worshipping the deities with such love, he fainted in an ecstatic trance. And when Advaita saw the Lord laying there, he began to take the dust from his lotus feet and he began to worship him. And with all the arti paraphernalia and puja articles that he was worshipping the deity, he started worshipping Lord Chaitanya. And he chanted the names, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagad Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And Gadadhar was wondering. He said to Advaita, you are very senior man, the chief of the Vaishnavas. Why you are worshipping this young boy? And Advaita said to Gadadhar, how long will you think that he is a young boy? And Gadadhar understood that yes, Vishvambhar is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the ultimate object of worship. One day, Lord Chaitanya was calling out again and again in separation, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And when he would go into these moods of separation, no one knew what to say. Everyone became speechless. But Gadadhar, who was a very deep realized Vaishnava, he said to Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is in your heart. And Lord Chaitanya, in uncontrollable love,
he cried out, "Then I must see him." And he took his nails and started ripping his chest apart with the intention of ripping his heart open to see if Krishna was really there. And when Gadadhar saw this, he grabbed Lord Chaitanya's hands and somehow or other was trying to pacify him. And he said, he said that please be peaceful. Krishna is coming. And Lord Chaitanya became peaceful. And when Sachi Mata saw this, she became very much impressed. She said, "No one can control my son, but this Gadadhar, he is very intelligent. He knows how to control him." And she prayed to Gadadhar Pandit, "Please always remain with my son day and night. Never leave him."
The materialistic people of Navadvip were very much insulting and blaspheming Srivas and the other devotees for having kirtan. Because Advaita and Srivas in their homes, they would have kirtan throughout the day. So it was a news that came to them that the Muslim king was coming with boatloads of soldiers to punish the Hindus for disturbing the peace by chanting in kirtan. And they were thinking that it is all because of Srivas and his brothers that we will all be punished and tortured. Therefore, we should punish them. We should torture them. We should throw their house in the Ganges and get rid of them once and for all. And the news was spreading. The soldiers of the king were coming closer and closer and closer. And Srivas, who was actually transcendental to any problems of this world, he felt very deep and great compassion for the devotees. And he began to worship Lord Narasimhadev for the protection of the Vaishnavas. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was walking. And as he was walking near the Ganga, he saw some cows. And the cows were playing. They were licking each other. Some of them were sleeping. Some of them were running. Some of them were jumping. Some of them were pushing each other. Some of them, their tails were raised. And when Lord Chaitanya saw these beautiful cows, he actually entered into the mood of being Krishna. And he called out, "I am he!" And he ran to the house of Srivas, saying, "I am he!" And Srivas was worshipping Narasimhadev, and he was saying, "I am he!" And Lord Chaitanya pushed open the door, and he came in, and he said, "The Lord you worship, I am he!" And Srivas turned around, and Lord Chaitanya manifested the forearm form of Vishnu, holding the conch shell, the lotus, the club, and the chakra. And then he told Srivas, "Offer prayers to me. That is the fulfillment of your heart's desire." And Srivas began to offer beautiful prayers to the Lord. And then the Lord told Srivas, "Bring all your family members. Not only that, all your servants, your maidservants, everyone, bring them." And on that day, all the servants, the maidservants, the friends, the relatives of Srivas had the beautiful darshan of the forearm form of Narayan. And the Lord placed his feet on each and every one of their heads. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, this is the fortune of anyone who is dear to a devotee. Even the most insignificant, menial, uneducated maid servants, they achieve the ultimate fortune of life if they are dear to the Lord's devotees. But he says even the greatest scholars and the greatest Brahmins and the most learned priests, unless they become the humble servants of a Vaishnava, they will never achieve the mercy of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya began to speak to Srivas. Please do not fear that king, because if he's coming on his boat, I will stand before him. I will come on the boat and I will reveal my opulences to him, and he will get off his throne and bow down to me. And if he does not, I will go to his court and I will tell him that these qazis and mullahs who are so much disturbing and interrupting the Sankirtan movement, you have them all come here. And then you bring all the elephants and the horses and the birds and the animals, and you have them chant slokas, verses from their scriptures, and make these animals cry in ecstatic love. And they will do that, and none of the animals will cry in ecstatic love. And then I will bring the horses and the elephants and the birds and the beasts, and I will begin kirtan. And they will all be weeping in ecstatic love and dancing and rolling on the ground. And then the qazi and the mullahs will start dancing and crying and rolling on the ground. And the king will fall off his throne in ecstatic love. And if you do not believe that I have this power, you just look and see. And Lord Chaitanya looked at the four-year-old little girl, the niece of Srivas, of the name Narayani. And he said, Narayani, chant the name of Krishna and weep in ecstatic love. And little Narayani immediately started crying out in pure, offenseless devotion, Krishna, Krishna! And tears just started flowing from her eyes, profusely like rivers, hundreds of rivers. And she fell to the ground, crying and crying, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna! And all the devotees were struck with wonder. In this way, Narayani became very famous. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally induce her in ecstatic love to chant the name of Krishna, but whenever he was at the house of Srivas, this little four-year-old girl, he would personally feed food from his own mouth and put it with his hand into her mouth. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of the great Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the daughter of Narayani, who had received the mercy of the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On another day, Lord Chaitanya was walking and he heard the glories of Lord Varahadev, and he started calling out, Sukara, Sukara! And he ran to the house of Murari Gupta and he said, Murari, come, Murari! And Murari came, and right before him, the incredibly beautiful apalpun form of the born incarnation, Varahadev, was standing before Murari Gupta. And the Lord said to Murari, offer prayers to me. And Murari said, how can I offer prayers to you? Who can understand you? Even Mahavishnu cannot understand your supreme opulences. And then the Lord empowered him to offer beautiful prayers. And then the Lord ran into Murari's temple room and took a little pot of water and placed it in his tusk, representing the earth. And he explained to Murari Gupta that please know that my form is transcendental. It is spiritual. It is the origin of everything. There is a Mayavadi sannyasi in Varanasi who claims that my form is an illusion, that the impersonal aspect of the energy of the Lord is superior to my form. That person has leprosy in his every limb, but he does not know it yet. He said, this form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And it is eternally in the loving reciprocation with my devotees. And anyone who causes harm to my devotees with this form, I must punish. And please know, when I appeared in this avatar of Lord Varahadev, when I lifted the earth with my tusks, I impregnated the earth. And Mother Earth gave birth to my own child. His name was Boma. And he was filled with virtues and good qualities. But somehow he got into bad association with Banasura. And due to that Banasura's association, he became a demon. And he started offending the Vaishnavas and causing pain to the Vaishnavas. And therefore, my own form of Krishna destroyed him. Please know this, that I will destroy even my own son if he causes pain to my devotees. This is the glory of my love for my devotees. In this way, the Lord showed Varahadev form to Murari Gupta. It was at this time that Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadvip. On Lord Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day a few days ago, we explained the wonderful story of the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. In very brief, Lord Nityananda traveled for 20 years. He would not come to Navadvip until the Lord began his pastimes of distributing the holy name and inaugurating the Sankirtan movement. And when he heard he came back from Gaya, Nityananda Prabhu immediately went, and he was hiding at the house of Nandanacharya. Lord Chaitanya sent Srivas and Haridas to find him. They searched throughout Navadvip for 9 hours all day long, and they returned and said, "We have not found him." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took them directly to the house of Nandanacharya. And when Nityananda Prabhu saw the beautiful form of Sri Gauranga, the worshipable object of his life, he stood motionless. His eyes were not blinking. Tears were simply flowing. And Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda, or Srivas, to begin a kirtan. And the kirtan began, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu fell to the ground. But first, as he was looking at Lord Chaitanya, it is explained, every one of his senses were simply absorbed in Lord Chaitanya. He was tasting him with his tongue, he was hearing him with his ears, he was drinking him with his eyes, he was smelling him with his nose, he was embracing him with his limbs. In pure spiritual love. And Lord Chaitanya told the kirtan to continue, and there was beautiful recitation of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Nityananda got up and began dancing and jumping. And no one could control him. Sometimes he was falling to the ground in such a way it appeared all of his limbs would be broken. But Lord Chaitanya embraced him and immediately became still. There was a beautiful dialogue. Lord Chaitanya said, "This is the perfection of my eyes. Such love of God we have never seen as what you possess within your heart." And Lord Nityananda said, "I have traveled to all the holy places for so many years. And wherever I went, the temples, there were no deities. And I asked, 'Where is Krishna?' And the people told me that Krishna is in Navadvip. The Lord is in Navadvip. And he has just gone to Gaya and returned to Navadvip. That's where you will find him." In this way, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda embraced. And they went to the house of Srivas Thakur and began their first kirtan of chanting and dancing together. As they were chanting and dancing, they were sometimes embracing and sometimes trying to get the dust from each other's feet. When Lord Nityananda would go to the ground, sometimes It appeared that the whole earth was shaking by the force of his lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing so gracefully, sometimes his feet were on his head. And the next day, Lord Chaitanya described, we will worship Vyas and celebrate Nityananda Prabhu's Vyas Puja. That night, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was in so much love, he broke his danda and he broke his kamandalu. And Srivas told Ramai Pandit, you better tell Lord Chaitanya what Lord Nityananda is doing. So Lord Chaitanya came, and they went to the Ganges, and Nityananda Prabhu immediately jumped in and started chasing after crocodiles. The devotees were crying out, hi, hi! And they tried to stop him, but nobody could stop him. But Lord Chaitanya, who was the eternal master of Nityananda, he said, Nitai, come back, it is time for Vyas Puja. And immediately Nityananda Prabhu very humbly returned. And all the arrangements were made. And at the culmination of the ceremony, Srivas gave Nityananda Prabhu the garland and said, put this on Vyasadeva. And he said, so be it. And he stood there. Put the garland on Vyasadeva, so be it. After repeatedly trying to encourage him, Srivas Thakur went to Lord Chaitanya and he said, you're Nitai, he is not putting the garland on Vyasadeva. So Lord Chaitanya approached him and said, please put the garland on Vyasadeva. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu put the garland around the beautiful golden neck of Lord Gaurasundar Mahaprabhu. And just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya manifested his six-armed form. He was holding the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club in four hands. And in two hands he was holding the symbols of Balaram, the club and the plow. And upon seeing this beautiful form, Lord Nityananda went into a wonderful, wonderful trance of ecstatic love. And then the kirtan began. Lord Chaitanya said, now the ceremony is finished. Let us have Harinam Sankirtan. And all the devotees blissfully were in a circle around Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as they danced together. And the devotees, in ultimate jubilation to see these lords' love for one another, loudly chanted the holy names. Lord Chaitanya told Ramai Pandit, go to Shantipur and bring Advaitacharya. Tell him this message. That person that you fasted for, worshipped, and called the holy names has come, and he's asking for you. And bring the paraphernalia of worship. Ramai Pandit went to Shantipur, and he gave this message to Advaitacharya. When Advaitacharya heard this, he tested Ramai Pandit. He said, where does it say that the Supreme Lord appears in Navadvip? Tell me where. And Ramai Pandit said that you already know all these things. But I can say this, that the Lord who you fasted for, who you worshipped, has come to fulfill your desire. And Advaitacharya, in great happiness, along with Achyutananda and his wife Sita Thakurani, gathered all wonderful gifts and came to Navadvip. But he wanted to test the Lord again. He said, I'm going to hide in the house of Nandanacharya. Don't tell Lord Chaitanya I'm here. And when Ramai Pandit came before Lord Chaitanya said, go get Advaita from the house of Nandanacharya. And Advaita, dancing in ecstasy, he came. And he worshipped the Lord by putting tulsi leaves and sandal on his feet. Lord Chaitanya accepted his worship in the mood of Vishnu at this time. And then Lord Chaitanya told Advaita to dance. And he began to dance and dance. So many ways he was dancing, turning in circles and putting straw in his teeth, and sometimes laughing, and sometimes very serious, sometimes very wild, sometimes very graceful. And Lord Chaitanya asked Advaita, I will grant you any boon you desire. What do you like? And Advaita said, all my desires are fulfilled because today I have danced before you in the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. One day in Srivas's house, to everyone's surprise, Lord Chaitanya was calling out, Pundarik, my father, Pundarik, my father. The devotees were wondering, who is this Pundarik? Lord Chaitanya said, a great personality who no one will be able to identify will soon come to Navadvip. A place called Chatigram, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was living. But he also had a house in Navadvip by the Ganges. One day, Mukunda Dutt told Gadadhar, there's a very, very great devotee who has come to Navadvip. Would you like to meet him? And Gadadhar was always anxious to meet great devotees. So they came. And they came into this beautiful, opulent home. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi very graciously welcomed them. And then Gadadhar was looking at him, and he was sitting on this beautiful, beautiful bed with bright colored silk covering it. And there were opulent pillows on all sides of him. And there were little trays for betel nuts and other spices, and little and pots, very, very highly polished brass pots for water and other items for enjoyment. And there were mirrors in the room. Sometimes he was looking in the mirrors. And he had beautiful, beautiful, elegant, finely tailored clothes and very costly jewelry. And his hair, he had exquisite hair. And it was anointed with very, very costly scented oils. And there were at all times two men on each side of him, fanning him with very, very exquisite chamara fans. And Gadadhar Pandit was a brahmachari. He didn't say anything, but in his heart he was thinking, why did Mukunda take me here? He told me I was coming to see a great saint. This person appears to be very much attached to material enjoyment. Mukunda understood the heart of Gadadhar.